Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
The Quilted Bananas program plays every Sunday, 10 to 11am, with news, views and music.
A collective of presenters, advertisers, community events and discusses news of interest to lesbians, queer women and non-binary folk.
We have interviews about past and future sports and cultural events, politics, films, art shows.
The program is sponsored through the generosity of the Rural Foundation.
And it plays every Sunday from 10 to 11am on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM.
Good morning, everyone. We're just settling down. Things were a bit...
Sorry about this, yeah.
Things were a bit behind the starting position when we got in here, and I've now pushed all the right buttons. We can hear ourselves.
Excellent. And I'm just switching myself on.
So this is the Quilted Bananas radio program. It's on Access Radio 106.1 FM. We thank the Peter Rawl Foundation for the substantial funding that they give us towards our on-air fees, without whom we would certainly find this much more difficult. And today, what have you called your program?
I've called my program Stuff and Nonsense.
So we will promise some of these. Yeah. Completely without AI stuff and nonsense.
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about that beforehand, weren't we, about our horror of AI. I think my particular horror of AI is around the idea that the kind of clever fakery, the stuff that's believable. I mean, algorithms are frustrating enough without people kind of starting to believe that we actually have these genuine images and things of people. So, yeah, that's just my concern.
I think if you're going to do AI, you should do the honourable thing and make sure that all the people have...
Tag it.
Well, or tag it.
As AI.
Or make sure that all the people have 15 fingers.
Or obviously their skin is far too good.
Yes, they're obviously... Yeah.
My Tidal account's decided not to connect, which is lovely.
That's lovely.
It's lovely.
We'll probably do something about
it. We'll figure it out. Otherwise, I'll just sing badly.
I need...
I can't sing well, so I will be singing badly.
Yes, so, I'm not in my singing well days.
No. So as this is my inaugural session, hopefully not the last edition of Stuff and Nonsense, I figured I'd better introduce myself a little bit. Hopefully I'm sounding a bit better. I've noticed in the past, Sue has interviewed me. I am Sarah, the local Egyptologist, although that's only one of my many hats. And I have been on in the past, obviously, talking a couple of times. And what I've noticed listening back to myself, because, you know, vanity, is that I seem to have a slight lisp. So I'm going to try and speak a little bit more clearly so I don't sound quite so lispy as I did before. But, so my name's Sarah. I've lived in Tofunga Nuitara, Wellington for 21 years now, nearly. So not too bad. I know. Practically local. And although I often am better known for being an Egyptologist, that's what people tend to ask me about, I've spent my life doing anything and everything from working in record shops, CD stores, used to work in Tower Records in the UK, hospitality, retail, public service, the heritage industry, all sorts of stuff, which is why my interests tend to range from anything to everything. So, I figured that what I would just do today is just generally kind of introduce myself by doing what I do, which is just talking and chatting. And hopefully in the future, I will get a few more people in and on who can talk about their things and what they would like to do. We're trying to figure out with the music thing, Sue.
Yes.
Seeing as I can't, Tidal just does not want to behave itself. I've got it on my phone, but I don't really want to play my phone into the microphone.
I am just logging into mine.
Ah, splendid.
And if you turn them around, make up the space. I will swap.
I've got a little list. There you go.
You've got a little list. They never would be missed.
No, this is another thing I love to do. You'll learn this. I love to make a list. Oh. I like writing stuff down.
We've been comparing notes, and you're the list maker.
I'm the list maker. Absolutely.
I'll make it and lose it and ignore it.
I write them down and I stick them differently. I love that whole cliche of lists and post-it notes and all sorts of things. So let's see if Sue can pick up on my first intro theme, which is going to turn out to be somewhat ironic when you find out what I'm talking about.
Right.
Here we go. It should come up.
I'm not sure I've got the right year, but anyway.
It doesn't matter, does it?
We'll be right back.
I was just saying to Sue that one of the things about that song that always entertains me from 1980 is the fact that they do try and argue that when it first came out that no one twigged that it was about gay clubbing. But I find that really hard to believe, personally. Who knows? Who knows? So what's going on in my head this week? Interesting. Okay, so basically, I was going through, looking through news and bits and bobs and, you know, as you say, you go online and the internet decides to feed you various bits of news it thinks you might be interested in or not, usually nonsense about celebrities and the Beckhams or something. But a thing that came up this week when I was noodling about online was about the Stonewall Monument in New York. Yeah. So the Stonewall Monument in New York, obviously I'd heard of Stonewall. You know, a lot of us have heard of Stonewall. Big organisation in the UK named after the Stonewall riots and Stonewall in New York City. But oftentimes you don't really think much beyond that. So the thing that had come up in the news was the fact that the Stonewall Monument in New York City had had its flag removed. And there was a big protest to replace the flag, the pride flag that had been flying there. So, of course, you know, me being me, I go and have a quick look at what this is all about. And then I end up getting further and further and further into it and finding out more and more and more about what's actually going on. So what is going on at Stonewall and what is the flag issue? The flag issue is still complicated. It's not even, they haven't even sorted that out. Let's do a brief history of the Stonewall Monument, the Stonewall flag, etc., etc. So, the Stonewall Monument, named after the Stonewall Inn, which was the site of the Stonewall riots in 1969. Again, I'd heard of the Stonewall riots. I thought I knew what they were. I know a bit about it. Quick potted history of the Stonewall riots is that on Saturday, the 28th of June, 1969, at 1:20 a.m., the New York City police decided to raid the Stonewall Inn. I realised afterwards, having talked about this, that the irony of having my stuff and nonsense image being Cagney and Lacey, who are New York police officers. It's like, oh, yeah, disconnect. Generation X disconnect. But so the Stonewall Inn was raided. And the way this worked was that they had two male undercover officers and two female undercover officers in the inn. And they were there to kind of basically, once they twigged that there was enough what they considered to be, you know, inappropriate behaviour going on, they would call in the other cops from outside who would then arrest as many as they cared to arrest. And the standard procedure for this, again, I didn't know a huge amount of detail about this because, you know, you have a habit. If you didn't live through it or weren't around at the time, you don't pay as much attention, is that the police would come in and they would line up everybody in the bar and they would basically check everyone out and they would take those that they, in their words, perceived to be female or perceived to be women to the bathroom to have their gender or biological sex, depending on how they decided to define it at the time, verified by a female police officer. Charming, yeah. Like, Jesus, sorry. But yeah, so they're doing this. This is the usual thing. And this basically, the reason they're doing this is because they want to pick out from the cisgender women, any transgender women, and people that they consider to be drag queens or what they would call in those days transvestites, and then they could arrest them for public indecency. The problem is, lesbians, we can be troublesome. The women refused to go with the police officers to the bathrooms to be checked. And this caused the problem. The women refused to be checked and the men refused to show any identification, which means the police couldn't really arrest just the people they didn't like the look of, or they deemed to be the wrong sort. So the police, this is where it all started to go horribly wrong. They decide to take everybody to the police station. In that case, if you won't cooperate and kind of turn over the ones we want, we're going to take everyone to the police station. And they tried to basically drag them all out and put them in their wagons. But what they wanted to do at that point, they decided to separate the ones they suspected of being transgender or in cross-dressing and in the not gender-appropriate clothing for the age. They decided that they would take them to a back room in the bar and hold them there. This went down very badly indeed. And it got worse because the lesbian clientele of the bar said that during these supposed checks that they were assaulted by police officers. The situation is made worse by the fact that the police, having then decided that they would take everybody to the police station, don't have enough wagons to take everybody to the police station. So they all have to wait 15 minutes, apparently, of hanging about, waiting for their wagons to turn up. 15 minutes at 1:20 a.m. in New York on a Saturday night is a lot of time for people to turn up and start hanging around and going, what's going on? So a crowd gathers of about between 100 and 150 people. And because of the crowd, because of the people they're harassing, this crowd, of course, what they do is they start taking the mickey and they start mocking the police and catcalling them and doing all sorts of stuff. So the police are getting more and more wound up. By the time the first police wagon turns up to take people to the police station, the crowd is estimated to be roughly 10 times the size of the number of police officers present. Things are getting a bit tense. The police are starting to put people into the wagons and the crowd start chucking things at the police. Nothing exciting, you know, just whatever odds and ends are to hand. But it really kicks off when the police tries to subdue a woman who is described by an eyewitness as a typical New York butch. And this typical New York butch apparently takes four police officers 10 minutes to wrestle her into the wagon because she keeps escaping and running off. And when they finally wrestle her into the wagon, she turns to the crowd watching and shouts, "Why don't you guys do something?" At which point they go, "Oh,
what a good idea.
What a cracking good idea. Maybe we will." So it kicks off. The crowd start throwing things. This time they're throwing beer cans. They found a pile of bricks at a local construction site. They're chucking bricks. They're trying to overturn police vehicles and the police vans. Everything goes off. And the reason for this is thought to be twofold. One, during the course of 1969, and obviously previously, harassment of queer people had increased quite dramatically in the States. And two, the Stonewall Inn was famous for being one of the places in New York where you could go and would be welcomed, even if you weren't the right kind of queer, even if you weren't, you know, a middle-class professional, they were happy taking the street kids, the street queens, the hustlers, all of the people that normally people would go, nah, I don't want your sort around. And it's suggested that at this point, those people just went, that's it. Enough. We're done. So off it goes. And at this point, because it's all getting a bit stressy, some of the police officers, I'm not sure exactly how many there were at this point, but some of the police officers actually barricade themselves inside the Stonewall Inn along with some of their detainees and, weirdly enough, a relatively well locally known political activist folk singer and a journalist from the Village Voice. Never a good idea to barricade yourself in with a journalist.
Genius.
Well done. The crowd, not having this because this is their place, decide they're going to break into the bar. They're going to get in. And so they start smashing, trying to break in the windows. Not as easy as it sounds because of the nature of the clientele of the bar windows were actually covered in plywood to stop people A, seeing who was in there, and B, from chucking things through the glass. So they manage to smash their way into the bar, and then a fire starts in the bar, and there's quite a lot of discussion about who starts the fire. Is it the police? Is it the rioters? Anyway, somehow the bar is set on fire. At this point, the police, being the American police, who have shown great restraint compared to 21st century police, at this point they unholster their weapons. So this apparently goes on for 45 minutes, this ruckus. Meanwhile, this just story gets better and better. I mean, it's just, you kind of go, oh, Stonewall riots sounding like fun. And then when you look into it, you're like, this is bonkers. So this is going on 45 minutes. just down the road, I didn't realise this, there's a place which is called the New York Women's House of Detention. Okay, now, being me, when I first read that, I thought, is that a club? It's not a club. It was actually the women's prison in New York. I was thinking, I'm pretty sure I've been to the club. No, it's the women's prison in New York. So the Women's House of Detention, which is just down the road and can hear all of this going on, the people who are inmates there, which include women and trans masculine people, start chanting and they start their own prison riot. They start setting fire to their belongings, biffing things out the window. It's all going. And apparently one of the things they're chanting is gay rights, gay rights, gay rights. So the people rioting in the street can hear all of this happening from the prison.
Inside the prison?
Yeah.
I never knew this.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds amazing. Can you imagine? It's like cheerleaders going off. It's getting a little bit out of control now. So the New York police call in what is called the NYPD Tactical Patrol Force.
Ooh.
The TPF. To rescue the trapped policeman.
It sounds like perfect de-escalation.
I know. Isn't it sensible? Yeah. We've got a prison riot. We've got a bunch of queer street, you know, all of the people that normally are treated absolutely like crap, suddenly had enough. So we'll send in the tactical patrol force. Magical. Apparently a bystander, a witness says at this point, the police there are absolutely losing the plot. And the reason that they're absolutely losing the plot, the reason they're so furious, is because they've been made to look stupid by, as far as they're concerned, a bunch of...
shirtlifters.
Yeah, shirtlifters, queers, trannies, the whatever name you can think of.
Yeah.
They are like, these people are making us look like absolute dickheads. But there's too many rioters still for them to arrest, because this is attracting attention. And some of the eyewitnesses say, and this is one of the things that's always really stood out about Stonewall, is that some of the people who were fighting the hardest, who were really going at it, were the transgender women, because they were the ones that were always got the worst treatment out of everybody. The funniest part of this, which is brilliant, one of the things that these people were doing to, so the New York TPF, you know, basically riot police decide they will do the classic, you know, we'll form lines and drive everyone back and off. So they were forming this, you know, we're going to be very formal about this. So some of the protesters, some of the rioters, to respond to these TPF lines, formed chorus lines. And they began high-kicking and singing show tunes at the TPF. As you can imagine, didn't really, again, de-escalate.
No.
So this is all going on. People chucking bricks, prison riots, things on fire, people high-kicking. I mean, it just sounds stupendous, absolutely stupendous. By 4 a.m., so we've had nearly 3 hours of this, things have settled down a bit. People have gone home. You know, it's exhausting, rioting and high-kicking, especially if you've been out clubbing for several hours beforehand. But the next night, dun-dun-dun, it begins again. Over 100 police are sent down to Stonewall to restrain the locals from causing too much havoc. So this is the 29th of June, still rioting. Monday the 30th of June, Tuesday the 1st of July, bit quieter, not so much going on. The reason for this is because it's raining. You're not going to risk your hair or your... No, that's me. No, it's raining, so people are not quite so keen to go out and cause a ruckus. Maybe things would have quietened down then. Who knows? Maybe it would have calmed down. Problem is, the Village Voice, so Stonewall Inn is in part of the West Village near Greenwich Village. The Village Voice newspaper, which is, I think, is it still around? I don't know. Published a story on Wednesday the 2nd about these riots. And this story, they describe the people who are rioting, the clientele of the Stonewall Inn, in terms of such terms including the forces of faggotry, limp wrists, and the Sunday fag follies. This doesn't go down well with the queer community. And so they go back down to the village and they go back down to the Village Voice offices and they threaten to set fire to the Village Voice offices. And there's some more rioting. Hooray. That was actually the last day of the rioting. So the riot finished. So we've got the Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5 days roughly of writing. And this is considered...
With the big end to finish off.
And this is generally considered to be the start of the modern gay rights movement. And the reason it's considered to be this, and June 28th was marked the next day, the next year, sorry, 1970, as Christopher Street Liberation Day. So Christopher Street's the street that Stonewall Inn was on, and it was considered it had been liberated from police oppression. And on that day, they had simultaneously gay pride marches in LA and Chicago. So these were the first kind of official gay pride marches that happened. And it really becomes the kind of beginning of the gay liberation movement. And it's thought to be that because prior to this, the generally accepted approach was that the gay rights movement, the homosexual rights movement, was about kind of being nice and middle class and acceptable and not offending sensibilities. And at this point, people just went, fuck it. Yeah, exactly. Fuck it. You can't tell me who I can and cannot be. Just because I don't fit into your mold, just because you don't like the look of me, doesn't mean I should be treated any worse than you. Brilliant. It's the time. That's when it was really like, you know what? I am what I am. Oh, I'm coming up with enough is enough. I am what I am. I'm coming up with all of the tunes today. So this is why Stonewall is Stonewall. And this is what it's named after. And obviously, a lot of it is involving, like I say, transgender women. Marsha P. Johnson, and the most famous transgender woman involved with it. Like I say, all of these people who, it wasn't just the kind of, you know, the pretty acceptable face of the queer community. Let's see if I can get this to work. Hopefully, I now can control music, which will be amazing. And so I'm going to play a tune, not from 1969, because that's too long ago. I'm going to stick with some 80s classics. Right, here we go. Is it playing? Where's my sound? Why is there no sound, Sue?
That's a good question.
It's a good question. Hang on, I'm going to pause while we figure out why there's no sound coming out.
This is me now going to turn everything on.
Okay, we're turning everything on. Watch out, she's sliding things.
I am sliding things.
It's very technical.
But we're not hearing anything.
I haven't, hang on, I'm pressing, play is on. Let's see what happens. At some point it's going to blast out and our eardrums are going to go ba-dang. Still not working?
And if it doesn't work, we might have to use the computer one.
I'm just going to keep talking. I could try and sing it. I'm not going to sing it because it's a drag.
Is that the one?
That's not it. No.
That's not it. That's what was playing on mine. That's me pushing one button too many.
One button too many. Oh, don't you love technology? This is why I study archaeology and not this, because I'm rubbish at this stuff.
Right.
I'm plugged in, theoretically. Okay.
Okay. What are we going to play?
We're going to play Gloria Gaynor's classic, I Will Survive.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I know. Brilliant.
All right.
Oh, I loved it. Like I say, this is...
Look, this little... And we're going to have the Gloria Gaynor...
Here's a love instinctively.
No, not that.
Was Diana Ross. Oh, we'll be better next time, promise. Or maybe we won't. Here we go.
Then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And so you're back from out of space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me, why now go? Walk out. You're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye?
was literally a boob.
Literally a boob, yeah. Sue's stately bosom.
Yes.
Actually switched the sound off. Muted via bosom. Oh, my God. She can't stop herself now. She's just banging out tunes.
Let me just stop
this. Just stop it. So, anyway, onwards. So this is what Stonewall is. Stonewall was. The riots were. Obviously, this has become a site that's of great import to the queer community in the USA. And they've been campaigning for quite some time to have the site marked as a monument. And in June 2015, these things always happen in June to mark the anniversary of the riots. In June 2015, New York City designated the Stonewall Inn as a city landmark. This is the first time there's been a New York City landmark which actually commemorates and celebrates the LGBTQIA plus community. So it did commemorate everybody, very much acknowledging the involvement of the whole queer community. Magic. June 2016, a year later, President Barack Obama, still in office at that point, and he designates the area of Stonewall as the Stonewall National Monument. The Stonewall National Monument is a roughly three hectare area in the West Village of New York City, which includes the Stonewall Inn, Christopher Street Park, and some of the surrounding streets. It's basically the whole area where the riot was taking place. It marks the site of the riots. This, because it's a national monument, it comes under the jurisdiction of the National Park Service. And it's the first national monument in US history, again, to commemorate the LGBTQIA plus community. And it was dedicated 2 weeks after the Orlando club shootings at Pulse Nightclub, where horribly 49 people were murdered in an overt anti-queer attack. So, again, kind of a very significant time in our history. This is where it gets quite interesting. So what has happened here until this point, there hasn't been a pride flag in associated officially with the monument. What has happened is that there's a chap called Stephen Love Menendez. And Stephen Love Menendez has been basically collecting and putting pride flags around the Stonewall, around the park, Christopher Street Park. He puts them all around the fence around the outside. And he's been doing this for quite some time. I can't remember when he first did it. But because there was no official flag, he started doing this himself. And he would install rainbow flags, just the classic simple rainbow flag, for the pure reason that they were easy and cheap to get hold of. So, you know, if he could get hold of hundreds of them, he could put hundreds up. Brings us into the history of the flag, which is, again, part of the whole story. It's not just, you know, me being politically correct or right on or woke or whatever people want to call it. There is a reason for this. So 1978, we have the Gilbert Baker flag, the original Pride flag, which actually consists of eight colours. So we've got hot pink, red, orange, yellow, green, turquoise, indigo and violet in the original flag. And this, I believe, was commissioned or requested by Harvey Milk, I think, in San Francisco. The 1978 flag becomes obsolete. Not for a nasty reason, it becomes the traditional rainbow flag because simply rainbow flags are easier to get hold of. The eight colour flag you have to pay to have made, rainbow flags you can buy almost anywhere in a gift shop. So the rainbow flag becomes the standard pride flag just because simply easier to get hold of. Makes sense, it's fine. In 2017, Philadelphia decided they're going to add brown and black stripes to their pride flag, to mark also obviously the brown and black community and also victims of HIV and AIDS. And then it becomes incorporated in, where is it? 2018, we get the design of the progressive pride flag. And the progressive pride flag is the one that we see quite a lot of now. It's flying at the Wellington Zoo, I believe, which is the rainbow flag combined with the triangle of the white, pink, pale blue, brown and black, with the white, pink and pale blue, obviously representing the transgender community for the traditional kind of gender baby blue and baby pink or whatever you call it. And it's designed by a man called Daniel Quasar, Q-U-A-S-A-R. And this is accepted, becomes kind of accepted as the progressive flag, that Pride isn't just about the lesbian and gay community, it's about all of us. It's about everybody who wants to fall. And people would argue that the Pride flag did represent that, but the argument the other way around was that it makes it obvious that these people are welcomed into our community and are part of our whānau.
In some ways, that's the modern version of the, you know, the clubs were the nice people clubs.
Exactly, yeah.
That there were sort of groups that were historically excluded in it.
Yeah. And it's saying,
conscious,
you know,
inclusion.
You're part of our umbrella. We'll put your colours on our umbrella. We're fine with this. We're all good. So this progressive flag becomes kind of the more, I guess, the modern, the new version. And one of the reasons as well that the progressive flag was argued for and presented was that it did actively include transgender folk and the street queens, who were the people who were best known for starting and defending Stonewall. So it was actively kind of celebrating this event. So on we go. So we've got this official monument. Interestingly enough, this official monument, they wanted to put their own. It's got a flag there. It's got a flagpole with an American flag because it's part of the state park, it's National Park Service. In 2017, they had people had been putting up their own pride flags on the outside. When Trump came in first time round, he tried to have these flags removed. And he couldn't. And the reason he couldn't was because when they looked into it, they discovered that the pride flag that had been erected at Stonewall wasn't within the confines of the National Park Monument area. It was just outside. So they had no jurisdiction over the pride flag. They had jurisdiction over the flag inside the monument, but not on the outside. So in order to get jurisdiction over it, they would have had to declare this part of the monument, which they obviously didn't want to do. So the flag stayed there simply because it fell outside their remit. Yay. Nice one. Then what happens is, so Trump can't quite do what he wants to do. This is all good. Who cares? Up yours, mate. In 2022, June 2022, Trump's out of office. Joe Biden's back in. The campaign for a flag within Stonewall National Monument continues, and they are given approval and funding by the Biden administration to raise their own flagpole and to put up a fully inclusive, progressive pride flag marking the Stonewall Monument within the monument area, a designated area. So it's on National Park land. And this flag is quite good because, again, this is, again, a slight difference on, it's a unique flag. So the Stonewall Park flag that's raised in 2022 celebrates LGBTQIA2S+. 2S being Two Spirit. Because they're on Native Indigenous people's land, on the Lenape people's land, they include the Two Spirit Indigenous people. The design also has specific reference to Stonewall and the 2016 designation of it as a national monument. And it also includes the National Park Service logo. You look at it, it's a bit busy, not my taste, but for the information you might possibly need. So this goes up in 2022. Then things start to change again. So on that note, before I get into the next bit, they have another tune. If Sue and I can coordinate, we're ready this time, we think.
Yeah.
And this one is going to be one of my favourite moments from the Brit Awards way back in 1993, I think. Katie Lang and Andy Bell's rendition of Enough is Enough.
It's raining.
You can track down the actual live performance at the Brit Awards. It's fantastic. Anyway, so we find ourselves in 2022 when we have this. Activists have campaigned for an official flagpole and an official flag within the monument area. So we're now on national park land. At the start of 2023, the National Park Service are actually helping provide funding for flags. They've given Stephen Love Menendez funding for up to 250 pride and trans flags, which he puts on the fences around the park. Hooray, we love this. And then Trump gets back in.
Ta-da.
Yeah. Early 2025, Donald Trump orders that there's an executive order that bans the promotion of gender ideology. It's bringing back things of Clause 28 in the UK. So in February, the Stonewall Monument webpage from the National Park Service removes any reference to the word transgender. This also results in them being told that they cannot show any transgender flags. So the flag is shifted once again. In mid-2025, the National Park Service website removes any references to bisexuality as relates to the monument. So the monument becomes, instead of LGBTQIA 2S plus, is reduced to simply lesbian and gay. That's the only references you see on the website, lesbian and gay. I think there's another thing about, the website refers to gay or lesbian person and the Stonewall community. That's it. And they have ordered the removal of the transgender flag from the site. And so people just start bringing their own transgender flags, sticking them up. Who cares? Can't do anything about that. In February 2026, so last week, last Monday, I think. Monday? 9th, anyway, whenever it was. Tuesday. Yeah, this week. This is why it's caught my eye. The Trump administration orders the removal of what is now just a simple rainbow flag, not the progressive flag, completely from the Stonewall Monument. The flag, pride flag, is not allowed because it is on now federal land. So he can order that. And this is under the new Department of Interior guidance, which says that under government-wide guidance, only the US flag and other congressionally or departmentally authorized flags are flown on new National Park Service-managed flagpoles with limited exceptions. So you're thinking, oh, exceptions. Love an exception. The exceptions are where they provide historical context. You'd think, given the circumstances, this is historical context. No. The historical context only applies to the US flag, Department of Interior flags, or military-associated flags. And what they mean is basically, if you have a place where this event happened in way back days, you can put up the way back days flag. I'm assuming it means you can put up a Confederate flag if you want to, knowing them. But anyway, so no flags apart from the US flag allowed on site, on their flagpole. So, 12th of February, 3 days ago, New York City holds a hands-off-our-flag rally. And elected officials, what they do is they turn up with their own flagpole. Do you have a flag? Eddie is our joke. Susie is our joke, depending on, they don't mind apparently, if you call them Eddie or Susie. Bring their own flagpole and they raise their own pride flag. Their second flagpole is a bit shorter than the official flagpole. Local people there don't really like this.
They're not size queens.
Well, they are. So they take down this flag and the American flag and they zip tie them together. Ooh, bondage queens. zip them together and put them up again on the official flagpole. So now you have the Stars and Stripes flag literally zipped tied to the pride flag, flying high and proud above the Stonewall National Monument. But it's only the rainbow flag. And this is what's irked me, is these protesters have put back a flag that Donald Trump has stated is illegal and will not be allowed. And if you're going to put back a flag that's not going to be allowed, go the whole hog. Put the progressive flag back up. Don't just go rainbow. Go absolutely full hog, full pelt, go for it. So this is where we're at now. Stonewall has a pride flag, but it has the rainbow pride flag. The transgender flag is not, or the trans-inclusive flag, the HIV awareness flag is not back in place as yet. So my thinking is they need to go for it. I didn't mean to spend the whole of this hour talking about this. As I was saying to Sue, I've learned. I'm learning my limits. Bear with me, people. I do tend to go off on one. I'm going to do a quick community announcement. Well done, everyone who's doing Round the Bays. Not the weather for it. Good on you. If you are interested in running or jogging or trogging or whatever you do, there's quite an interesting podcast called, The Running Joke. And it's a podcast by two stand-up comedians, Zoe Lyons and Esther Manito. Zoe Lyons, you might know, she's quite a well-known queer British comedian in her 50s, so I can relate. So middle-aged lesbian trying to run somewhere. Go her. Give that a bash. Also this week we have the first meeting of the Wellington Rainbow Youth Choir, who will be meeting on Wednesday between 5 and 6 p.m. is open to all high school students. There's no auditions, no experience. If you feel like giving it a blast, give it a blast. They are going to be at 257, which is level 257 Willis Street, which I believe is just opposite Dangerfield, youth reference. And you can get in touch with them via either look them up on Facebook on the Wellington Pride page or wr.youth.choir@gmail.com.
And you'll also find a flyer for it on Glamophones site, which is Glamophones is pretty well known on their Facebook page. For it.
And in keeping with today's ranty subject, next week I'll try, like, next week, I'm so full of myself, not next week, when at my next appearance. On the 22nd, next Sunday at 12 noon, there's a rally for trans healthcare and rights starting at Midland Park, hosted by Queer Endurance in Defiance. So I think, you know, they definitely could do with as many of us as possible turning up and I was going to say kicking ass and taking names. We're not going to kick anyone's ass. We're not going to take names. We're just going to send love and do our thing. Be there and support. So on that note, I was going to talk about bits and pieces I've been looking watching on telly, but I'll do that another time. Yeah, it'll be fine. What else have I got? Yeah, I don't think anything. Oh, I've got 5 minutes. What I have been watching on telly, interesting enough, anyone who's into Derry Girls, there's a new series on Netflix called How to Get to Heaven from Belfast, which not only has a queer character, but one of the other characters I thought you looked familiar and was Sadie from Lip Service back in the day. So, final tune. What should we go for, Sue?
We're going to go for Oops, I Did It Again with Lady Parts.
Yes, if you can find this, this is on Neon. It's brilliant. Love it. A bit quiet, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I think I did it again. I made you believe we're more than just friends. Oh, baby, it might seem like a crush, but it doesn't mean that I'm serious. Problem is this, I'm dreaming away, wishing that heroes they truly exist. I cry watching the day, can't you see I'm a fool in so many ways? Cause to lose all my senses, that is just so typically me. Yeah, 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 yeah.
All aboard! Brittany, before you go. Oh, it's beautiful, but wait, isn't this?
Yeah, yeah, it is.
But I thought the old lady dropped it in the ocean at the end.
Well, baby, I went down and got it for you.
You should have.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.